ये इंटरनेशनल गेम है, इसमें दिमाग से खेला जाता है, गुस्से से नहीं।
Hello everybody and welcome to Hoop Darshan, the first Indian basketball podcast.
Hoop Darshan.
Yeah. This is a podcast that there is a brainchild of both me, Kaushik, and Karan Madhok, also known in the interwebs as Hoopistani. What's up, Karan? How's it going?
Hey Kaushik, I'm so excited to do this. I'm glad we're finally on live, we're on the podcast, and I feel like a dinosaur being on podcast, but let's do this.
Hey, you know what they say about better late than never, right? So
I know. I'm so glad that we finally have an Indian basketball podcast, and this is it. This is Hoop Darshan, a name totally stolen from everything we grew up on, which is called Doordarshan, and but we, our Darshan is basketball.
Yeah, exactly. And I feel like we can do something really special here with podcast medium catching on. And it's a really fun way to interact with people and with what we have planned ahead, which I'm sure we'll get to in a couple of minutes. This is pretty exciting. So before we start anything, I just want to talk about, you know, what we aim to do with this podcast and basically, you know, things that we want to do in the future. So this is basically, as we've mentioned, a podcast that talks about, that focuses on basketball in India and Indian basketball. This could be anything ranging from the national teams that perform, that go to play in Asian tournaments or invitational tournaments or anything like that. Or it could also be about intra-nation tournament, which is clubs taking part against each other or states taking part against each other. We could talk about prospects, young prospects that are playing in India, abroad, people who are playing in NCAA, and lot of things like that. We have a huge variety of topics to talk about. And
we could talk about Shah Rukh Khan dribbling against Kajol and Kuch Kuch Hota Hai. That's hashtag India basketball right there.
Absolutely. if that was not the moment that got you hooked to basketball, I don't know what is. Screw the Lakers, screw the Bulls and all that.
There was nothing. It was Shah Rukh Khan in his tie. And by the way, if any of you guys have not seen that, seriously, where have you been? Which country did you grow up in? Google, YouTube search, Shah Rukh Khan, Kajol, Kuch Kuch Hota Hai basketball scene. And just wait to have your mind blown away.
Yeah, and as Hrithik Roshan would like to say, yeah, international game. Yeah.
Exactly.
All right, guys, just a couple of quick housekeeping things before we get started with what this week's episode will be about. We are available on a variety of platforms. Our podcast will be hosted in a website called Podbean, which ideally you shouldn't see because we'll always have a front end on Karan's blog, Hoopistani, which I'm sure everybody reads, because if you're not reading that, you're doing something wrong. And we will also have a Twitter page at Hoop Darshan. We will also be on Facebook. If you search for Hoop Darshan, you'll find us there as well. And if that's not enough for you, we will also be on SoundCloud, where you can stream the podcast. And
you can everywhere.
Yeah, you can consume Hoop Darshan in any which way you want. And if you do want to reach out to either of us on Twitter, Karan, where can people find you?
My Twitter handle is just Hoopistani. So that's where you find me.
And yeah.
Hopefully I respond.
And you can find me, Kaushik, at underscore Kaushik7. I know it's a little complicated, but follow me and follow Karan, and hopefully you'll get your fix of plenty of crazy shit like basketball, football, and tons of other things. So I'll just pass this on to Karan, who'll tell us what this week's episode will kind of focus on.
Well, so since this is our first time doing this, we want to start with a bang. And the first guest we're going to have for our very first podcast. And actually, before I say that, let me just let you know that whenever we do this podcast, we'll always try to have a special guest on. Sometimes that guest could be a well-respected coach, from an Indian coach, an international coach. It could be just a variety of people that we know in the Indian basketball industry or related to it. Sometimes that guest could just be a friend of ours who likes basketball a lot and we owe him a favor. For example, I want to give a shout out to one of my closest friends of my high school roommate and the man who created the Hoop Darshan logo, Mr. Dhondup Roder, who's sitting over in Thimphu, Bhutan. Dhondup Roder, special designer, graphic designer, art designer, and he's the one responsible for this logo. I owe him a podcast invite these days. So you may get random stuff like that, or you may get the head coach of the Indian national team, which you're going to get today. The head coach of the Indian national team, Mr. Scott Fleming, is going to be here on our podcast. And
you really meant it when you said start off with a bang, huh?
Yeah, exactly. So I think it's time to get Mr. Scott Fleming, the head coach of the team, on our podcast now. And here we are with Mr. Scott Fleming, the head coach of India's men's national team. Hello, Coach Fleming. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. I'm here in Ghaziabad running a training camp for a basketball academy of young kids. And so just doing my thing, trying to grow basketball in India.
Coach, we're very excited to have you for the first ever episode of Hoop Darshan. If any of your listeners don't know who Coach Fleming is, well, if you know Indian basketball, you should know Coach Fleming. He got hired by a national team about 2.5 years ago. And before coming to India, and Coach, correct me if I'm wrong in any of this information, but you worked with the D-League side, the Texas Legends, which is an affiliate of the Dallas Mavericks.
That's correct.
And I think you've spent over 2 decades with every single division in the NCAA, and he's just been coaching for years. So if you guys have to listen to one coaching brain, it's this one.
And you're also saying I'm an old guy, right?
Coach, I just wanted to say that India basketball is very, very proud to have you.
Well, it's been a great ride for 2.5 years, as you said now, and I've gotten to know so many great people in India and this game, and you know, now I'm to the point now where we're, you know, feeling settled in and really seeing what we have ahead of us and what needs to be done. We've come a long way, have a long way to go still. So,
well, you say you're settling in, but I think a lot of expats in India would say that the settling in process, you never fully settle into India because there's always something new to surprise you. Do you want to talk about some interesting cultural experiences that you've had so far in India? Like, tell us about the craziest thing that you've experienced so far the last couple of years.
You know, one of the things I say whenever anybody asks me what India's like, usually my first answer is that I every day I see something I've never seen before. And now after 2.5 years, that's still pretty true, because it's, you know, it's certainly a different culture than where I'm from. I'm embracing it, but it's very different everywhere, from the traffic to all the animals in the road to the food to all kinds of things like that. My first training camp, instead of a water break, they brought me tea. You
know, we had a yep.
And so that's
how we do.
Yeah. That, and still, I was in the last U14 camp. They were right on time. But whenever I took a water break for the campers, they were bringing me tea. So I think I'm fully Indian now because I've kind of bought into it. And I drink it. So
who needs Gatorade when you have good old milk chai, you know?
Right. It's a little tough right in the middle of the summer when it's real hot. You know? You'll need to have some of that punny, right? So
yeah. So you were talking about food. Do you have any favorite Indian dishes?
Well, I love butter chicken.
Wow, I think you're in awesome company here.
I'm probably not the only one there. You know, of course, I like a lot of the breads. I think the butter naan probably is my favorite, and I like biryani. And you know, when I get down south, I really like the dosas. And so there, you know, there are a lot. Pretty much, I like Indian food. There are a few things that I don't like, but I can take spices. I just had a meal tonight here in the hotel I'm in, and my mouth was burning, and it was spicy, and I thought, you know, I'm okay with this. I like it, so.
It would have been difficult. it would have been difficult to be in 2.5 years in India and not like the food. You know,
that would have been difficult. Yeah, that has discouraged others probably. My wife can't really take the spices, but she, you know, she's found food that she can eat here, so that's not a problem. But yeah, I mean, when I go out to these tournaments or camps, I mean, I better like Indian food or I'm just going to starve pretty much. So.
And more importantly, has the team taught you any Hindi yet? Anything you picked up?
Well, you know, they don't teach me much, but they laugh at me when I try my Hindi, you know, and practice things. You know, I've learned some key words and phrases and things like that. I probably don't always pronounce them right, but.
Coach, can you give us a little bit of that Hindi that you've learned over these 2.5 years?
Well, it's not a lot, but, you know, of course, I throw in my tigas and achas and all those kind of things at times when people are talking to me. But like in practice, you know, when it's going real well, I throw in there a bhunt acha, you know, very good. And they kind of laugh at me, but they like when I say that. And then, you know, sometimes I try to get them to get low, you know, and so I'll throw out a Nietzsche, you know, something like that. But you know, I've learned a few words here and there, but very far from being fluent at this point. So.
It's good, though. It's good. Your Hindi is pretty good, I can say.
Do you watch any Bollywood? That's a good way to.
Yeah, I do some, but, you know, it's hard because I don't understand a lot of it. You know, when my wife and I have watched a few of the Bollywood movies, and what's funny is, you know, I was telling somebody about a movie I'd seen recently. I think it was a version of Aladdin. I said it was kind of musical, and I didn't realize they told me, well, really, pretty much every movie in
every
India
single
is a musical from Bollywood.
They're all musicals,
But, yeah, we do that.
Do you have any favorites? Yeah,
I guess I just realized that.
Do you have any favorites?
I haven't watched a lot. You know, I've watched a lot of the American films, actually, from the U.S. that are about India. You know, there's a bunch of them now that have come out. Like, I don't know if you've seen The Million Dollar Arm.
Yep.
About the two Indian players that were recruited to go over and play baseball. And then, of course, we've watched Gandhi a few times and the exotic Marigold Hotel. And I was telling somebody the other day, hey, there have been, I don't know if it's just me since I've been here, but there have been so many movies out of even Hollywood now about India, you know, and it kind of started with Slumdog Millionaire and Gandhi years ago, but now there's quite a few. So probably watch more of those Bollywood movies, yeah.
Well, now that we have established that you know, you have the essentials of India, you have enough language, you have enough Bollywood and enough food experience. Those are your first keys of success, obviously.
Right.
And you showed your key of success in China last year in Wuhan, where if listeners are not aware, Coach Fleming helped lead the Indian men national team to our first ever victory over China. Now, this is huge. China is ranked over 60 points ahead of us in the FIBA Asia rankings. We have never ever defeated them, and we beat them in their home ground at the FIBA Asia Cup. And it was just incredible. I was there in person to watch this. It's one of the greatest days of my life. First of all, Coach, thank you for making that happen. And
sure.
Now that almost a year has passed, reflect back on that. Like, how does that feel to have been there and have been a part of that huge moment?
Well, you know, it's interesting because we, you know, my goal from the beginning has been to narrow the gap between India and the top teams of Asia. And we had a long way to go and still have quite a ways to go. But I felt like the Asia Cup was our coming out party where we were really competitive with the best teams. And certainly it was marked at the highest point by beating China. And I wish we could have won a few more games. But as you know, we played right with Iran and we played with
the Philippines
and Jordan. I mean, we could have won any of those games. And I think for the first time, at least in a long time, if ever, you know, we got a lot of respect and a lot of the coaches told us that the players, I think our players were able to walk around that tournament and feel like we really belonged. And, you know, we still need to narrow that gap quite a bit, but I think we made that first big step in being competitive, with the best teams. And of course it was great that we could finish out and win the China game. which was, you know, it's much bigger than I realized probably at the time. You know, I'm a coach just trying to win every game. And and that one worked out pretty well. And as you know, too, I mean, we came into that without playing any practice games, any prep games at all. And so that, you know, I was concerned about that. And then we had the whole Turbin fiasco in the first game. And I tried to do everything I could to avoid that. And it still happened. So, you know, we started off on a pretty tough note without playing any games, the whole Turbin issue. And so, you know, the guys could have really gotten discouraged and gone the other direction. But we really gathered as a team and united through that and came out and won, you know, beat China, played well throughout the Asia Cup.
Yeah, I remember that game because I was sitting in my office and I was following it on the FIBA tracker where, you know, you have this play-by-play where somebody says, you know, Amjot Singh has scored and so-and-so has scored. And I'm out there celebrating and people around me think I'm some sort of crazy guy because, you know, what are you talking about? You know, people don't really follow Indian basketball to that extent. But, you know, two or three days later, things are on, like, Indian news channels and on newspapers and, like, India has beaten China and... And I feel like we still don't probably understand how big that victory was. But I just wanted to lead this to the next question that we have about looking forward to the FIBA Asia Championship later this year. How do you think the team has, you know, progressed or in what areas has it probably gone down? If you can take us through, you know, where the team is right now and where it was at that time.
Well, of course, I haven't been with the senior team much since the Asian Games. We'll probably start practicing again together in May. But the great thing about it, and I've got a core of players now that have been with me for a couple of years, so it's not like we're starting all over again. They understand our system. They know how hard they need to work. They know my philosophy. And so, you know, with those core players, plus maybe a few more that can help us with some younger players, hopefully, we're going to narrow that gap more. I don't make a lot of predictions, but I just know we want to get better every day and we want to be able to compete better. And hopefully, rather than just compete, we can win some more of those games. And so, you know, I'm excited about this opportunity coming up. You know, it'll be our third go around as far as major tournaments. And I hope we can really make some place in this tournament and give even greater respect to India basketball. You know, when you think of that China win too, I mean, this is a country where that's their number one sport. They have a pro league. They have great facilities. They're training all the time. They play all these games prior to that tournament. And so, you know, when I think of it that way, even more than just who they are, that was a pretty miraculous win, really. So,
and just to put in perspective for the listeners who may not know how India's international sort of touring system works. The biggest tournament we play in, it happens every 2 years, which is the FIBA Asia Championship, and that's taking place later on this year, and it's in China again, right, Coach?
Correct, yes.
I think when you first came to India, you did that back in 2013. You went to the Philippines with the national team. But I think you had just inherited that team. You started showing real results from the Lusophonia Games last year, where we won the gold medal back home in Goa. We did really well against South Asian teams in Nepal to qualify for the FIBA Asia Cup. The FIBA Asia Cup, we, as Coach mentioned, we turned heads and we really belonged there. And now will be our next big. It's our return to the FIBA Asia Championship. So the pressure is on, Coach. We have been improving every single tournament. And I think... And I'm going to shamelessly say that I'm expecting a lot.
Yeah. Well, that's, you know, I like that kind of pressure. I have no problem with that. I've been coaching, you know, most of my life, and I've been in a lot of pressure situations. So that's fine. You know, there's no guarantees. You're not sure how it's going to work out. I do know one thing. We need to be able to play games, prepare better for it. You know, that's something that needs to happen for us to really take a big step. It's just tough when other teams are playing 20, 25 games before they play, and we're playing our first without any prep games. And so, I've said that before, and it's not an excuse. It's just something where I feel like for us to take a big leap, that just needs to happen. So,
Coach, I have one question. I remember a comment from you a while ago saying that, you know, probably India, the one place where we lack on the basketball court is probably to have a good point guard or someone who can control the game, you know, bringing the ball up, setting up stuff. How do you deal with maybe, you know, lack of something like that? I know that we have some issues, like we're not as big and maybe as agile as the other teams, but how do you deal with something like this?
Well, of course, we've gained a lot of ground with our size and with, you know, our athleticism. I think, you know, we finally have a pretty big team as far as some of our, you know, frontline guys. But we are a little lacking in the point guard position. When you get to that international level and you're playing the Irans and Philippines, and they're bringing out two or three just really quick, good, very strong point guards. And probably the closest thing we had to that was Sambhaji. And, you know, he's at the end of his career, has some injuries, and so, you know, he won't be with us anymore. And so we're just, you know, trying to play people at that position that need to grow. And maybe, you know, we've added a few more players to camp. I can't really tell you the names now, but hopefully maybe they can step up and be more that true point guard. And I'll tell you the other thing I'm doing. It's not going to help us right now, but I'm really focusing on some of these young players in our younger national teams that have that potential. And really trying to push them to work on those passing skills and being that pass first point guard and being able to guard quick players and that. So I think that's where you're really going to see it probably in 3 or 4 or 5 years from some of these younger players. But until then, we have to do our best and you know, work with some of our guards and try to make them the best point guards we can.
Well, and on the flip side, I'm really in love with the size that the team has now. Between Amjot and Amritpal starting, and then Yadu coming off the bench, and I think there were a few other guys who were part of part of the FIBA Asia Cup team. I think especially Amjot and Amritpal, they showed in Wuhan that they could stand their own against any Asian big. Like, they did really well against Zhou Qi, who's a much hyped young man out of China. Yeah. And they held their own, which was very impressive. Like, what have you thought about their development over the last few years?
Well, those have been two of the players that have improved the most since I've been here. You know, they were good players when I came, but I really do agree with you. I think they're becoming really good international players now. And I think they both have a chance to play some pro ball, whether it be here or somewhere else. And we're trying to help them to do that right now. But, you know, they both, you know, when you think of Amritpal, started playing when he was 19 years old.
Yep.
You know, this was only 4 or 5 years ago. Think how good he'd be if he would have started when he was 9 or 10 years old. He might be in the NBA right now. I like those two. And, of course, we have some others. Yeah, size isn't a problem. You know, we have to take care of a few other weaknesses, but I think we're pretty good front.
I remember the first time I saw Amjot play, it was the under-18 South Asia Championships, and it was held in my city, Bangalore. And the moment I saw that team, there were a couple of guys I asked Karan about, who is this guy? And he looks awesome. And ever since then, we've shared this insane man crush for Amjot Singh, and we follow him very, very, very intently in each tournament.
Well, he's a gifted player, because now, you know, after the first year, I really liked his jump shot. I thought he could have some range, and so I really pushed him after that first year to become a three-point shooter, and he's really one of our best three-point shooters now. So now you have a 6'8", 6'9", athlete that can go up and dunk it any way he wants to and run the floor. But what's really, you know, you saw in those Lusofonia games and even in the games last summer, is now when those bigs have to come out and guard him at the three-point line, because he's a really good shooter. At times, he's our best three-point shooter. We would call that a stretch four, you know, in the NBA, where he's got some size and he can play inside, but he makes the defense stretch out because he can knock down that three.
You know, during the Wuhan FIBA Asia Cup, I also wrote an article about just how good the team chemistry is now, and I really felt that the team, like Bonhomie amongst each other, was at an all time high. Now, what's the secret to like that locker room success? Do you have guys who are just like the jokers in the squad who kind of make sure everyone stays loose, stays funny, you know?
Well, you know, we do at times. Every team has their guys like that. We have a few like that. But I think, you know, from
who's the funniest player?
Well, you know, we've got a few. Of course, Yadu can be that way at times, and even Amjo at times is, you know, he's kind of that. He acts real innocent, you know, and kind of quiet, but he's pulling a lot of pranks. And then, you know, he always looks at me. He knows he's gotten caught at times. And then, you know, and then Vishesh, he can, you know, he loves. Vishesh loves to have the birthday party because he's the first one to take all the cake and smash it on the face of the person having the birthday, you know, and that kind of thing. So, but yeah, I think they share those responsibilities. But I did when I first came, and that was a high goal of mine, is to really bring us together. And I think I've told you before that we really wanted to have an attitude of team above self, and they, to the most part, I think they've done a good job of taking that on. This is a team game, and it needs to be played together. If you're not getting along in the locker room and practice and off the court, it's going to show up on the court. And so I think we've come a long way in those areas.
All right. Coach, a couple of things about the new crop of players. You said that you're dealing with the youth team right now. Is there a couple of names that fans of Indian basketball should look out for? Who do you think they should be?
Well, a couple of young guys that we've already had on the team. One is Prasanna. He that was his first year to play for us last year. I think he has the potential to be one of the best players in India, because he does everything pretty well. He may not do any one thing better than others, but he's a pretty complete player. He plays defense. He can shoot the three. He can drive. He's athletic. He rebounds the ball. I think it's just a matter of him really learning the game and getting comfortable in our system and all that. I think he's got great days ahead. I think Akil, we talk about trying to find that true point guard. He's probably the closest to that on our team. Last year, one of the young guys. And so he still has some growing to do, but I think, there's some potential there. And then, we'll see. I won't mention too many names of the guys that haven't played for me because I really don't, I've seen them play for their own teams, but until I get them in practice and see what their attitude and work ethic is, I'll be able to comment, more on them later. And so, yeah.
Well, Coach, you're obviously quite involved with the grassroots system. I mean, I also want to clarify, when we called Mr. Fleming the head coach of the men's national team, his job responsibilities are way more than that. Like, that's just the tip of the iceberg, I think, or that's just the reward. Because I think you travel around the country, you work with so many different coaches and so many different players all over. You just started the Indian Basketball Coaches Network, which is a great way to get to coaches from every single state in India. I mean, I think there's hundreds of coaches on it now, aren't there?
There are. We have over probably pushing about 350 coaches now. We hope to even that. My goal is to get it to over 1,000. And it's just something that we've started in the last couple of months and trying to get out an email to all the coaches about once a week or so. And it's basically to connect all the coaches and give some insight, get them thinking about some things. And it's also something, I've been here now 2.5 years. I've observed India basketball, and I feel like maybe this is a good time for me to start commenting on that and giving some tips on maybe how it can improve. And not only with our national teams, but more with their own state teams and club teams and youth teams. Because if we're going to really improve basketball and it's going to advance, it's going to have to happen before guys get to the national team. It's going to have to happen, local areas. And so I certainly I can't make anybody change, but I at least sharing my opinions and my attitudes about some things. And I've gotten a lot of good feedback and a lot of the coaches saying, that makes sense. We really need to move toward some of these things. And then some of it's just practical drills and plays and just basketball 101. And so I'm going to try to touch upon a lot of that. But I have been involved more this last year, even in a lot of grassroots endeavors. You know, when I have some free time and we're not in camp, I'm not good at sitting around and just doing nothing. I want to keep busy. And so even a lot of these things I've taken on my own initiative and tried to connect with local coaches and academies and saying I'm available to them if they'd like. And usually that's all you have to do. And I get a lot of calls and emails saying, come help us. And so I'm trying to do as much of that as I can.
That's great to hear, Coach Fleming. We have one last question for you before we let you go. This is about a player that's probably most known to the casual Indian sports fan more than anybody else, mostly because, you know, there was a lot of hype and a lot of press about Satnam Singh Bamra, of course, is the guy we're talking about. What have your experiences with him been? And I know that he's abroad in the US, you know, trying to hone his skills, trying to get into the NCAA Division I and so on. But every time he comes back for, say, the national championships to play with Punjab or to maybe come to camp with your team, have you seen any like improvement with him? Give us your thoughts on, you know, how you've seen Satnam grow.
Well, I got to see Satnam play in the most recent nationals, and I thought he really improved. I saw him earlier in the fall when I was in Florida. I always stop by and see our players, our students there. And the one thing different about him this time, he had lost some weight and really got fit and in good shape, and he was healthy. He's dealt with a lot of injuries over the last few years. And I think right now is probably the best shape he's been in, and he's the healthiest he's been. So that has helped. And I thought that showed up in the Nationals. You know, for one thing, he's a great young man, very coachable, and that helps. We've become good friends, and, you know, I stay in contact with him and try to encourage him. And we'll see how far he goes. I think he has improved. He still, you know, needs to work on some areas of his game, I think he knows that, but it'll be interesting to see how far he can go. I'd love to have him back and play for us. I don't know if that's going to happen this summer or not, because he's trying to, you know, move ahead, whether get into a school or a pro team or something like that. But I know he'd love to play for us if it would work out. But if not this time around, I'm sure down the road, you know, he'll be on the national team. But he's got the right attitude. He's in a good place. They work hard with him there. And again, I think he's healthy and in better shape than he's ever been. And that's a big key.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, that's great to hear. It's great to hear that that he's improving as well. And he keeps coming back to India to play as well. So it's nice to see that he's kind of growing on both ends. I'm sorry, go on.
I was just going to say, you know, it's funny because I think he claims both countries as his home now.
That's a big change.
Yeah, my home in the U.S. and my home in India. But of course, he has great pride in India and loves his country. And yep, so yep, I know, yep. I think that'll ever leave. I think he'll try to go as far as he can in the U.S., but I think he'll always come back. So
Well, Coach, any last words for what we should do for basketball in India? To improve basketball in India, anything that's been on your mind that you would like to share about the future of the game here?
Well, the last couple of months I've been with these a couple of academies, and what I like what they're doing is they're starting them very young. I mean, these are 8, 9, 10-year-old boys and girls that are playing, and that's what it's really going to take, I think. Certainly, I come from a country where they start them at 6, 7 years old and go from there. And, you know, I just mentioned here we have a guy, Amrit Paul, who's probably our best big man in India, and he started at 19 years old. Yes, and so that's going to be a key to get a lot of these top players starting their younger. Mm-hmm. And I think now we're starting to see some coaches do that, and hopefully that'll just grow. And I mentioned that in my last message to all the coaches in the network that, you know, we need to start them when they're younger and teach them the fundamentals, teach them the right way to play. And then by the time they're 14 or 15, where a lot of them are just starting, they'll already be, you know, pretty seasoned players. And it's just a matter of, you know, tuning up their skills. So that's a big thing. I think the the other thing is just to, you know, make sure we've got facilities that are available. It seems like a lot of these cities I go into, even if they have basketball courts, they're not always available to the players. And so that probably is something we need to work on. And, you know, and I mentioned to you before, JP Greens, where we practiced last year, was probably the best investment that
in Greater Noida.
BFI has made towards, in Greater Noida, probably the best investment that BFI has made since I've been here and really advancing the national program. And even though we didn't play any games, I thought that directly correlated to our success last year because we had such quality practices. And so those we need to improve that for our national teams as well as other teams and just really upgrade the facilities as well.
That's great to hear, Coach. And thanks. Well, thank you for being the first ever guest on Hoop Darshan. And best of luck to the Indian national team and to you for the FIBA Asia Championship. We'd love to have you back, hopefully right before or right after the tournament, either previewing or reviewing it. And we hope it's some good news.
Thank you, Coach. It's an absolute honor to have you.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for having me. And I want to say this. I mean, I think you, along with a few others in the media, have been so good for India basketball. I mean, you keep putting it out there, and you've been great to me since I've been here. And I think you're a few of the people that have really helped this sport to grow in India. So keep doing what you're doing.
Thanks a lot, Coach. Talk to you soon.
Coach Fleming, men's national team coach of India, and it was like we mentioned earlier, it was an absolute honor to have him. So and now I thought we'll have a little bit of time to discuss what he said and a couple of other thoughts about Indian basketball and so on. So Karan, one thing that I really liked about Coach Fleming is that we have some sort of continuity now, and I know that when Kenny Natt was invited to coach the team, he was around for about a year, and when I found out that he's probably decided to move on, and then we've got this new coach, I thought, what is really the point of getting these coaches? And I'm sure that a lot can be done in a year, but it would be so much cooler to have them around for 3 years or maybe a little more than that. So do you feel like that's played a huge part in how much better Indian basketball has become?
Yeah, so to again put this in reference, Kenny Natt was our former coach before Scott Fleming, and he's actually been an ex-NBA coach, and he was an interim coach with the Sacramento Kings, and he came to coach in India around 2011 or 2010, something around that. I might be getting mixed up now. But he did a pretty good job in what he could. But unfortunately, you get 1 year with the team. And as Coach Fleming would himself assert, you can't really change the team unless you change the system. And unfortunately, Coach Natt didn't have the time to do that. So I agree. Like when BFI hired Coach Fleming, there was a sense that this time he would be more of a long-term hire. So him and the women's team coach, Francisco Garcia from Spain, have spent a lot of time in India and have really helped not just the national teams, but they've worked with the Basketball Federation of India, and they've helped build the system up from the grassroots up. And which Coach Fleming also wanted to add that it was really cool that he agreed to do this. He's actually been the single most easy to access and easy to give access person related with the Indian national system. He's always around. He's all on Twitter. He's on Facebook. He's always interacting. He's happy to talk to you whenever. He's happy to discuss his ideas. He's happy to give his time. As he said, he's a very restless person, and so he's always contributing to something. And I think, in that sense, he's just the type of person. Maybe he's not the type of person BFI deserve, but he's the type of person that BFI needed. But he's the type of person that the BFI needed. So
nice Batman reference there.
Exactly.
Like you said, he's actually a great follow on Twitter for our listeners who are on on the social network. Give Scott Fleming a follow at Scott W Fleming, if I'm not mistaken. We'll put this up along with the post.
We'll do that.
And how you can follow him. He always, you know, tweets about the defense first, team first sort of approach, and it's actually very inspirational to read that in the middle of a lot of other nonsense that you read on Twitter. It's nice
and it's not just empty tweets, because if you watch the Indian national team play, they do play with that defense first, team first mentality. Our defense was the reason that we were able to beat China. This isn't really a high scoring team unless you count the times we beat the South Asian opponents, which are fairly weak. They're relatively weaker, but against the tougher Asian teams, we won't really have anyone who scores 20 points. We'll have guys who'll score between 10 to 15. Even in the China game, the leading scorer was maybe just a 14 or 15 point scorer, but we did with defense. Yeah. And that's the philosophy that Coach Fleming has brought to the national team, and hopefully that's the philosophy that's trickling down through the Indian Basketball Coaches Network to the hundreds of coaches that he's working with now.
Exactly. And basketball is a kind of sport where, you know, if there's a gulf in class and teams, it really shows in the scores. Like you mentioned, beat the South Asian teams, like we beat them like 120 and things like that. But and there was a point of time when we would be the 20 and China would be the 100. So it's a huge difference to see us, you know, beat them and just lose by 5 and things like that. It's massive. And
In my early years covering basketball in India, like, we used to lose to China by like 60, 70 points. And then to even be in the same breath as them in the fourth quarter was a big deal. But then to actually beat them was unbelievable. Like, I still get chills through my body thinking about that day, that game. So it was quite a great feat.
True. And now that we've talked about China, there are actually a couple of things that I wanted to ask you, because you've, of course, been living in China for the past 3 or 4 years. Is that
it's
right?
It's been about 2.5 years. Yeah.
Two and a half years. Yeah. So I'm sure you would have been like, haha, screw you, China, screw you, China, the day that happened.
I couldn't really do it because I was surrounded by a hostile environment. So I had to control myself. Except I did fist bump. And not at a Japanese journalist. So there was that.
So China is actually a country that was very similar in the position of how basketball is perceived and how they wanted to grow the sport in the country, say 20 years ago. And seeing where they are right now and where they were before, I feel like India can learn a lot of lessons from China. So, you know, having first-hand experience of China, what do you think they do that they do really well that, you know, India can learn from?
See, there's a couple of major differences. India wants to follow. This isn't just a basketball or sports thing. This is a complete governance thing about how, when you decide to go through with something, you do it. In China, obviously, it's easier to do because it's a centralized communism, and then therefore you can just give an order. And it doesn't matter how good or bad it is; it just has to be done. Mm-hmm. And China never had the threat of a looming competitor that cricket is. Yeah. If India ever decides to grow a sport the way China has grown basketball, it will always be cricket first. True. And if it's not cricket, it might be football. If it's not football, it might be something like basketball is still several rungs down the ladder.
Yeah, we have a Kabaddi league, for Christ's sake.
We have a Kabaddi league, and we still don't have an Indian basketball league, which. I mean, that's a conversation for a whole another day.
Yeah, we'll have a whole podcast for that.
but that's not to say that China hasn't invested in other sports too. They have invested a lot in a lot of different sports, but it's just that because nothing stood out except unless maybe like they're pretty good in table tennis, they're pretty good in badminton, mm-hmm. but nothing dominated the sports scene.
Right.
So basketball it was a prime time for when the CBA began, the Chinese Basketball Association, about 20 years ago. Mm-hmm. A few years later, Yao Ming made it to the NBA, and then it just became bigger and bigger and bigger. And now, I think I don't know how much to believe this stat, but China claimed that there's more basketball fans in China than the entire population of the United States. That's incredible.
I wouldn't put it past that.
Yeah, so I know population-wise and developing nation-wise, we feel that we should always compare ourselves to China, but really there is no comparison because of the political system, the way things are managed, and also because of the fact that in India, cricket will almost always be, you know, if I say cricket is only 80%, I'm actually insulting cricket because it's probably 90% of like Indian sports.
Absolutely. So it's the only sport where there's real money involved. So
yeah, there's almost too much money. We don't know where that's coming or where that's going to. It's just there. It's in the cloud.
That's true. If we get a rant on, you know, how much cricket is undeservedly getting, that would also make another episode of our podcast.
Oh, I don't want to hate on cricket. I mean, I grew up a cricket fan like every Indian. I grew up, Sachin Tendulkar remains like a god to me.
Yeah.
So, not hating on cricket at all. And it's not cricket's fault that the other leagues, the other associations have been mismanaged. So it's not
true.
Cricket's fault that a lot of others, even when they had the opportunity, they didn't make the most of it.
That's true.
So, it's a double-edged sword almost.
Right. Just a couple of more questions about China before we wrap this up. Do you have a Chinese name?
I do have a Chinese name. My Chinese name is Ma Kehao, and I'm not sure if I'm saying the pronunciation, the tones right, because Mandarin is all about the tones. So if I get the tones wrong, I could be either saying mother, or I could be saying horse, or I could be saying hemp. I could be saying hemp, so my name could mean any of those things, but yeah, that's my Chinese name.
Right, and what are your experiences with CBA been? I know you tweet a little bit about Marbury's team, and you've tweeted a lot about Emmanuel Mudiay's team and stuff like that. So how is the CBA compared to any other league that you've seen?
Well, I dabble in with the CBA when I have certain projects to do for other publications that I work with.
Mm-hmm.
For example, the Emmanuel Mudiay, who will probably end up being a top 5 NBA pick.
Hopefully on my Lakers.
Like all our favorite teams. I'm a New York Knicks fan, so you guys can feel some sympathy for me now. But both our teams are in the running for the worst team in the league right now. So there's that. But yeah, going back to Mudiay, he's so when I did a story on him for Slam Magazine, I had to go watch his game, and I had to go follow him, and I had to talk to him. So that's when I dabble with the CBA, when I have some direct material to produce.
Right.
But I have been attending the CBA finals. The finals are going on between Beijing, which is my sometimes home city, when I'm not back in Varanasi or in Mussoorie, versus Liaoning, and the series is tied at 2-2. Game 5 is tomorrow, and
is that the last game?
That's not. It's best of 7. So game 5 in Beijing is tomorrow. It'll be the last game in Beijing.
Okay.
And I really hope my hometown Beijing Ducks, led by the immortal Stephon Marbury, take that one.
It is the best team name ever possible. Beijing Ducks. It could not have been anything else, right?
you know, I was talking to a friend of mine yesterday. It is the most perfect team name. The most absurd team name in China is a team called the Sichuan Blue Whales. Sichuan is a landlocked province, and that's the team that another one of our immortal favorites, Mr. Meta World Peace, also known as a panda's friend, played for a couple of months. So I mean, just a guy called Panda's friend playing for a team called the Sichuan Blue Whales. You can't make stuff like that up. Yeah.
That's awesome. That's awesome. So I guess that brings us to this week's, at the end of this this podcast. We aim to do a fortnightly podcast. Is that right? Yeah.
Yes. Let's hope to make that happen. I think it'll depend on three schedules: yours, mine, and our guests.
Yeah.
So once we get all those three meshed together, we will have the next podcast up, and we will reveal the next guest, hopefully closer to the next podcast or on the podcast itself. But for now, I hope you enjoyed Mr. Fleming and hope you enjoyed the first ever listening of Hoop Darshan.
Yep, that's right. And if you're
mainly an NBA fan and not that much into Indian basketball, you can do two things. You know, we'll talk about the NBA as well, so you'll get your dose of that, as well as you can hopefully use our podcast, you know, develop an interest in Indian basketball, because that's what Karan's blog did to me. So hopefully this is like, it sets off a chain. And as we mentioned earlier in the episode, we are available on a multiple platforms, which we'll of course post on our multiple platforms. So please follow us, subscribe us, like us, retweet us, and give us all the love you can. Spread word. And thank you very much for joining us on the first ever episode of the first ever basketball podcast about India. That sounds awesome.
Yes, it does. Thanks, Kaushik.